Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hey, we're going to springboard off a couple of verses tonight, just two verses. And Matthew chapter 18, it's also part of a longer conversation. We're going to eavesdrop on Peter running up to Jesus, and he wanted to sound like he was clever. He was trying to impress Jesus. Have you ever tried to impress Jesus? And he comes up to Jesus. Oh, we just pick it up. And it says, verse 21, then Peter came to him, being Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And Peter, being the smart aleck, answers his own question with his own question to Jesus. Up to seven times. Seven times? What do you think of that? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Wow. How many of you have been in the room where you've actually been hurt by someone before? About six of you. The rest of you guys have amazing friends. And come on, how many of you have ever been hurt by someone? Someone said something insulting towards you. You've been treated unfairly. You've been offended. You've been betrayed. You've been bullied. You've been accused. That's all part of life, yeah? In Luke chapter 17, Jesus wasn't trying to be somber, but he did say that offenses are going to come. You got to be prepared. And if you've never been hurt by someone, good for you, but it's likely that at some point you will be. That's my nearly 49 years old experience talking, right? And so this conversation in Matthew 18, just come off the back of Jesus giving teaching about how to deal with someone who has wronged you and how to deal with it in a kingdom sort of way. And Peter thought that he could catch Jesus out. He wanted to kind of ask Jesus, is there a limit to how much you should forgive? Is there like a boundary? Because Jesus, you know, we're all modern these days. We have boundaries. And so Peter thought like the most common boundary that we have even back in the day was like three strikes and you're out. Do you know what I'm talking about? So he said, Jesus, how many times should I forgive? And you know, he expected that Jesus would kind of come to a common sense solution or common sense answer to kind of think, oh, maybe two or three times. Peter thought, I'm going to stretch out the boundary seven times. Because I'm awesome. To which Jesus said, no, I never said seven times. It's 70 times seven. That's 490 times. That's about 20 times an hour if you were to stay awake for a full 24 hours. In other words, it was an out there, ridiculous, infinite number. What Jesus was saying was that when it comes to forgiveness, there is something very fundamental about forgiveness as part of the gospel. And here tonight, I'm going to explore this whole idea of what it means to have the freedom of forgiveness. The freedom of forgiveness. Whenever I share about forgiveness, it's a little bit like love. People tend to switch off. It's like, yeah, I know. Forgiveness is super easy to understand as a concept, but it's incredibly difficult to apply at a heart level. And so when it comes to forgiveness, we want to try and understand it and learn it, but not many of us want to actually live it. And so for the sake of focusing our conversation today, we want to talk specifically about forgiving someone when you feel like you've been hurt by them. Now, it's a really tricky topic to nail down because there's so many differing opinions about it out there, so much social media stuff on there. In a 35-minute sermon like tonight, I'm not going to try and heal all of your hurts tonight. I'm going to fess up about that, okay? But what I am trying to do is invite you to come with me to Scripture and get on the journey yourself after you've heard what I've said to do some homework in the corners of your heart and allow God to unpack and unlock this freedom that is found in forgiveness. Amen? The journey of forgiving someone when they've wronged you can either be long or it's short. It's completely up to you. And if you've ever wondered why forgiving someone who hurt you is hard, you need look no further than the definition of forgiveness. A common definition out of the dictionary is this: to refrain from imposing punishment on an offender or demanding satisfaction for an offense, to grant pardon without harboring resentment, to renounce anger or resentment against the one who has wronged you. Here's another definition from, it was like from a psychology article from Berkeley University. It says, forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision or choice to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. Wow. It's nice to hear it, and even amazingly profound when you read it, even harder to apply it. Here's some biblical definitions. In the Old Testament, there are a few words on forgive and forgiveness. One common one is nosso, to mean to lift or to rise up. It's the picture of taking the higher road when someone has wronged you. Here's another one out of the Greek in the New Testament, charizomai, which is to freely or willingly show pardon and be gracious to. Here's another one in the New Testament, aphiemi, meaning to let go, release, to give up, or to give away. The common thread in all of these understandings and definitions of forgiveness is that it points towards the onus of forgiveness to be on the one who has been hurt. And on that account alone, that should be something every single one of us can relate to. And probably, if we're honest, it's something we don't ever stop having to do, because in life, we are constantly bumping up against other people. Come on now. How many of you have people that you do life with? How many of you live in a house with other people in it? Guaranteed, all of those things are opportunities for people to hurt you, right? And if you aren't working on forgiving someone right now, it's likely that at some point you will have to. And if you've been doing some forgiving of someone that has done you wrong, and you've probably, you know, put that to bed, it's likely that you'll be given another opportunity to do so again. And here is the brutal truth. Right now, someone's probably working on forgiving you for something stupid you said and you didn't even realize you said it, for something dumb you did that hurt them that you didn't even realize. Come on, we must never be so arrogant to think that we're always the ones that people hurt, that we always, everyone always hurts me. Rubbish. For as long as you're breathing, someone's hurting you or you're hurting somebody. That's why forgiveness is such a vital conversation to have in the church. So does the Lord really want us to forgive others who have wronged us? One word, absolutely. Many scriptures on this. Here's one, Colossians 3, verse 13. Here's just some great truth for community living. It says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also might do. So you also, maybe when you feel like you're up for it, no, it says, you also must do. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. There's no wriggle room that the Bible gives us when it comes to forgiveness. In my view, obviously, there is no expectation for someone who's never experienced the forgiveness of Jesus to be able to give forgiveness. But for those of us who are called His believers that have received the forgiveness of Jesus, forgiving others is a non-negotiable. We see this everywhere where forgiveness is taught in the Bible. Now, we all have a basic understanding that Scripture exists to reveal God's heart toward us and to reveal the benefits of what it is to be under His covering and under His lordship. Do you understand that? So if the Lord desires for us to forgive and to release forgiveness, clearly we have to ask ourselves why. Why is it so? Why does the Bible harp on about it? Because the need to forgive always comes from some kind of offense that has been perpetrated onto us by somebody else. That offense could be hurtful conversation. It could be a betrayal, a breach of trust, a rejection, an abuse of power, some kind of victimization of some kind. But regardless of the kind of offense, for the Christian, the requirement to forgive still stands. Regardless of how huge you think they've breached your trust and hurt you, there is no, God doesn't give any kind of concession for any kind of hurt. It is a non-negotiable. Why? I believe this is so because the Lord knows that unforgiveness, catch this, only has one trajectory, and that's bitterness. We're going to go there tonight. It's not unforgiveness in and of itself that will toxify and eventually destroy us. It's what unforgiveness becomes. When we don't forgive, it quickly becomes bitterness. And once bitterness takes root, it will corrupt our hearts, making having a walk with Jesus, having an intimacy in relationships and fully functional relationships nigh on impossible. It is almost impossible to relate to someone who has bitterness in their heart. Now, it makes sense, Hebrews 12, 15. Again, tools for community living. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God, and watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. corrupting many. So many of us don't forgive, it leads to bitterness, and we think that, by not forgiving you, I'm punishing you. No. The only person that bitterness troubles is you. The only heart that bitterness corrupts is yours. The only life that bitterness destroys is the one who is harboring that bitterness, because bitterness is unfulfilled vengeance. Bitterness is unfulfilled vengeance. It eats away at us. It corrupts the image-bearing nature that Jesus died and rose again for you to become. This is perhaps one of the most destructive of vices in the human heart. And if there's anything I want you to take away tonight, it's this. If we don't forgive someone who's hurt us, we are the ones that lose. You guys getting this? So I want to be clear. I want to teach this tonight. We have to answer the question, why do we need to forgive? I need you to be crystal clear about this. Why do we need to forgive? Very simple. We forgive for the sake of our own freedom. We forgive for the sake of our own freedom. When we've been hurt, we may struggle to accept this, but forgiveness is God's gift to us to set us free. Come on, church. I don't know anyone who walks carrying deep unforgiveness, but then for the rest of in all other areas of their life, they're whole, they're free, they're joyous, they sleep well, there's peace, there's blessing, there's favor. In over 20 years of pastoring, I've never met a single person who's held on to unforgiveness and walked in great joy and freedom and is a fantastic demonstration of Christ's likeness in their world. Come on, somebody. Forgiveness is God's gift to us to set us free. Unforgiveness always leads to bitterness. There's only one trajectory. And bitterness, unfulfilled vengeance, only ever leads or overflows into or causes the making of inner vows. Oh, I'm going to go there tonight. I don't want to forgive. And because I hold on to unforgiveness, it turns into bitterness, it's unfulfilled vengeance. I'm looking for just a chance to get even, but it's unfulfilled, it becomes bitter. And when bitterness starts to take root to corrupt our hearts, we start saying things to ourselves that the Bible calls inner vows. It's known as an inner vow. And inner vows always start with this phrase, I will never. I will never submit to leadership again after what my last pastor did to me. I will never talk to my mother-in-law again after what she said to me on Christmas Day last year. I will never trust a man again after what my last boyfriend did to me. I will never love a woman again after she rejected me. I will never use my gifts again after my last church trampled all over. Come on, somebody. And we do that because we feel like when we do it, the deception is that we protect ourselves from further hurt. But what we're doing in essence is we're building prison bars. Every inner vow is a prison bar. And we end up getting old and gnarly and peering through these prison bars at everyone else as they walk in freedom. And while we stay trapped in our cage of unforgiveness. When these inner vows are made, our whole lives close in. They become small, insular, joyless, friendless, cynical, and then the enemy has us just where he wants us. Limited, not going anywhere with our lives, hitting a glass ceiling over our potential. All of this can be traced back to unforgiveness. When you think about it, unforgiveness is the fundamental root of so much of humanity's brokenness. I think that's why forgiveness is the fundamental root of humanity's salvation. I reckon that's the reason why, the only reason that you are actually here, sitting here in the presence of God, that you can even dare lift your hand as broken vessels like, and imperfect people like you and I, the whole reason why we can even stand in the presence of God, forgiveness. The only reason you can even call yourself a Christian, forgiveness. So much of humanity's brokenness can be traced to this fundamental root of unforgiveness. And I think that's why God devised the backbone of the gospel to be forgiveness as the antidote or the solution to the brokenness of humanity. This is not to deny that what happened to you was incredibly hurtful. It's not to deny that what happened to you was wrong, but this is what you need to know. The hurt might have been life-altering, but you don't need to let it be life-destroying. There is life and hope after hurt and pain. That's the beauty of the gospel. This one, we got to address the unforgiveness thing, because you got to understand that is the very nature of why we're even here, being able to worship Jesus in the first place. But it's so hard. PK, you don't understand. I've been so damaged. I've been so wounded. People have hurt me through my whole life. You don't know what they've done to me, man. Like, it's, that's a fair comment. But I'm here to tell you today that you're not here striving to forgive the perpetrators that hurt you on your own. The grace of God that forgave you is going to be the same grace of God with which you lean on to forgive others. And so when we talk about forgiveness, can I do some practical teaching tonight? Are you guys getting something out of this? We got to also clearly, the reason why I think people struggle to forgive is because there's some confusion over what forgiveness is and what forgiveness isn't. So let me give you some clarity tonight on what forgiveness is not, because it'll help you to forgive. Firstly, forgiveness does not mean that you forget what they did to you. Like what? Forgiveness does not mean that you forget what they did to you. The definition of forgiveness to charizomai and to naso and to aphiemi, those Greek and Hebrew words and the common definitions, forgiveness is the active decision to release resentment or the right to revenge on that person that hurt you, or to rise above it in spite of fully knowing what they've done to you. This is so vital, because so many of us wait. We wait, we think to ourselves, I'm not going to forgive them until the memory of what they did starts to fade. How many of you know that day never comes? The paradox of the kingdom is that as we release forgiveness, you got to remember, forgiveness does not mean forgetting, but as you release forgiveness, that act of forgiving disempowers the memories of what they did to you. So the very things that have been tormenting you because of what they did, as you release forgiveness, you begin to deconstruct their power over your life. Second thing, forgiveness does not mean we condone what someone has done to us. For many of us, we hold on to unforgiveness because we think, if I just forgive them, then they'll get away with it. They'll just get on their merry way and they get away with it. And it looks like I'm condoning what they're doing. I want to say this to you tonight. None of that's true. It's a lie. Releasing forgiveness towards someone who has wronged you says nothing about them, but everything about you. It has nothing to do with them, but everything about the freedom that you're unboxing via this gift of forgiveness that Jesus has given you. Third thing, forgiveness is not dependent on their apology. If you're waiting and thinking to yourself, they've done me so wrong, and I'm not going to forgive them until they call me. I'm going to just until they make the first move and say they're sorry. Can I just break some news to you? Most of the time, when you've been hurt by someone, they are none the wiser that they hurt you. That's why they're just carrying on like they're happy. They're none the wiser about what they did, what they didn't do, what they said, what they didn't say. They're none the wiser. So why would you hitch your freedom on a maybe it will, maybe it won't come apology, when Scripture has already said to you, as Christ forgave you, so you also must forgive, because your freedom comes at this point before it becomes bitterness and becomes an inner vow. Oh man, I'm preaching myself happy tonight. And so I want to just go through with you guys tonight some things to consider as you begin this journey of forgiveness. Real practical, is that okay? Things to consider. The first thing to consider is this. Is there a conviction that forgiveness needs to be released for the sake of your own freedom and wholeness? You need to consider. You need to consider that. I'll tell you why. Because for as long as there is hurt that you're fixated on, you're going to be torn between your flesh telling you, don't forgive, don't forgive, don't forgive, versus your spirit man saying, release forgiveness for the sake of your own wholeness and freedom. However, if your carnal voice is forever louder than the spirit voice on the inside of you, you'll never forgive. So here's the thing. Let me ask you, is the offense in you greater than the Christ in you? The Christ in you constantly reminds you that you need to release forgiveness for the sake of your own freedom and wholeness. And yet the enemy, the carnality part of you, is saying, don't forgive. Don't forgive. Because if you forgive them, you lose your right to get even. It feels good to hold on to. Come on, somebody. Second thing, is there a conviction that Christ forgave you? For so many of us, we forget what we've been forgiven of, right? Right? Like it says in Colossians 3, we read it. Christ forgave you, so you must forgive one another. Matthew 18, the text that we read where Jesus said 70 times 7, 490 times. It actually comes up. It's the only parable where Jesus goes on to explain himself in the parable. He says it's a little bit like this. There's this dude who has a master and he owes the master 100 talents. That's a lot of money. Just think millions of dollars. He himself has a servant who owed him 100 denarii. Think like a couple of thousand dollars. Massive difference on what he owed versus what was being owed to him. He asked his own master, please wipe away my debt. Forgive me of my debts. And yet he goes to his own servant who owes him just a couple of thousand dollars and holds him, the Bible says, holds him by the scruff of the neck, chokes him and throws him into prison. And that's why Jesus says, this is the reason why I insist for every believer that forgiveness is a non-negotiable, because you have forgotten what I've forgiven you of. I know what they did to you was full on, but you've got to remember, I have hurt Jesus far more in my nearly 49 years of my life. I have broken his heart more and fallen short more than anything anyone's ever done to me, as bad as it is. And we got to remember that Christ forgave us first. This is helpful to you guys. Third thing, journey the path of forgiveness with trusted people. Journey the path of forgiveness with trusted people that will keep you accountable, that will pray for you. Let me help you with this, okay? Whenever we've been hurt and we're grappling with the forgiveness journey, we tend to look for people that will share our outrage. Unforgiveness loves company. Loves it. So we look for people that will go, whoa, that's terrible what they did. How dare they? Right? Journey with people that are not at all emotionally involved with your drama. That will call you out and go, come on, kiddo. Why are you holding on? You're better than that. You're bigger than that. Walk in wholeness, walk in freedom. Get someone that will speak into your life, that will call out the rubbish. Come on, someone. Hello, that are unemotionally involved with any of your hoo-ha and drama, right? You can ask me. I'd love to journey with you. Someone like me. But someone that will hold you accountable to walking the journey of forgiveness. Is that helpful to you guys? All right, I want to drill just a little bit deeper the next 5 minutes or so before we bring this to a landing. That if we do life in community and born into families, we're going to, you know, all that sort of stuff, we're going to be hurt by people, and we're going to hurt people. It's an inevitable part of life, right? And as we journey forgiveness and we understand what forgiveness is, what forgiveness is not, and we have these considerations around, you know, releasing forgiveness, there are some roadblocks to forgiveness that you need to be aware of. The first roadblock to forgiveness is actually our ego. I believe that one of the greatest roadblocks to our forgiveness is actually our own ego. See, when someone does something hurtful to us, whether it's in something they said, something they didn't say, they didn't do, some expectation they didn't meet, something we wanted from them they didn't give us, etc. Whatever the case may be, it's not the offensive thing that happened to us that takes us out. It's what our ego makes what that means. Come on, are you out there? Right? And the depth of our hurt and the depth of our offense is directly proportional to the size of our ego. You follow me so far? someone does something to you, how hurtful that is dependent on the size of your ego. The bigger your ego, the more real estate for the enemy to come park his cars. Come on, somebody. Let me give you an example, right? You've got a really good friend, or at least you thought you were a really good friend of theirs. Anyway, you grew up together and you're a part of the friend group, etc. They get engaged and then they're getting married, right? And then you receive the wedding invitation. You're invited to the ceremony and not the reception. It's like, they hand it to you at church and everything. And then you open it and you go, so-and-so and such, would love to invite you to join us for the, okay, at 8 Plail Street, followed by a morning tea. What's the second invite? I'm going to start a fight up in here. What happened was that you weren't invited to the reception. Your ego says you're not significant in them, in their life. You don't matter to them. And it's going to be real awkward for you, isn't it? When everyone sees you at the ceremony and they goes, I'll see you tonight. And then you have to go, oh, actually, I'm not coming tonight. Oh, why? I thought you guys were tight. And it gets all real awkward. And your ego, come on, somebody. The bigger the ego, the more real estate for the enemy to tell you, you got more things to get hurt over. Therefore, it's going to be harder for you to forgive them. Come on. And so let me ask you today, if the ego in you is bigger than the Christ in you, you won't forgive. Because disrespect and humiliation and lack of acknowledgement and lack of recognition, all these things, they're all ego emotions. Come on, somebody. And our ego fights against forgiveness and grace and mercy because it wants revenge, it wants to get even, it wants to hold on. Deal with your ego and you remove one of the most significant roadblocks to forgiveness. Another roadblock to forgiveness, choosing to only see the hurt. Choosing to only see the hurt. You will struggle to forgive if all you see is what they did to you. From Genesis 30-something to Genesis chapter 50, we see the life of Joseph. He was, man, talk about a guy who had so much hurt perpetrated on him by a fully dysfunctional family, beaten up by his brothers, put into a pit, they dipped his coat in animal blood and told their father he died and he was human trafficked as a slave to Egypt. There he was accused of rape, thrown into prison. He was forgotten in prison, right? By the time he becomes a prime minister and he's reunited with his family, we all would have thought, now's your chance to get even. Go, bro, go for it. Go your hardest. At least I think that way. But I want you to hear the words of a man who's gotten rid of the roadblock to forgiveness by choosing to see far beyond the hurt. Verse 20 of Genesis 50, as he's reunited with his father and his brothers, he said, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your kids. And he confronted them and spoke kindly to them, being his siblings. I want to suggest to you today that when you've been hurt, choose to see God's hand at work rather than the hurt. Some of you are thinking, what? You don't understand what they did to me. How can that even be? How can God even be in that? How is there any God in that story? I promise you, no matter how big the hurt, no matter how deep the wound, God is far more at work behind the scenes. This is how I think sometimes we think God does stuff. It's like he looks at Debbie and goes, oh, they really hurt you. Oh, I don't know what to do with that. So you're on your own, bye. But the gospel is the complete opposite to that. The gospel is almost attracted to our deepest hurts. It's attracted to our deepest trauma. It comes, the intelligent power of God, the energizo of God works at our lowest points. I want you to understand today that when it comes to forgiveness, choose to see God at work through the hurt, and your deepest pain is going to be your deepest, greatest purpose. Come on, somebody. The greatest trial that you're going through right now because someone has perpetrated all of that stuff on you is going to be your greatest testimony. Choose to see God's hand at work rather than the hurt. Final roadblock to forgiveness, holding on to the right to get even. This is related to the ego piece, you know. My friend, if you let the devil start sowing vengeance in your heart, he will keep you trapped, bitter, cynical, unhappy. I'm here to tell you tonight, you won't heal if you are silently waiting for your chance to get revenge. You won't heal. If you're saying to yourself, oh, I'm just going to bide my time, see if I get over it. Then if I get a chance to get even, I will. And maybe that'll make me feel better about what they did. You won't heal if you are silently waiting for your chance to get revenge. Healing only ever comes when you trust that God is the one that will square up the ledger. Come on, somebody. I love what David did in the cave at En Gedi when Saul, who's hunting him down like an animal, after all that he did to save Saul from the humiliation of being defeated by a Philistine giant and all that, Saul is so jealous, hunts him down like an animal. Saul finds the cave where David and his men were hiding out, but they weren't there at the time. So they set up camp. Saul falls asleep. David returns to the cave and finds Saul asleep. Now, you got to understand, in biblical times, in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye was a thing. He had every right to plunge a knife into Saul's heart, and yet that's not what he did. He cut off a little corner of his robe, 1 Samuel 24, verse 1, and it says in verse 12, let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. Vengeance is not yours to take, it belongs to Jesus. Come on, somebody. Every single part of us wants to make it right. We've got this innate sense of justice. And yet the Bible keeps reminding us, Romans 12, verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Musos, come and join me. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Here's the thing. If you've ever been wronged, you've got to trust in the faithfulness of God that He will level it all up, whether in this life or the next. Your just God has not forgotten, and He's got you in the palm of His hands. And here tonight, if there's anything that I want you to take away from, it's this, that there is freedom to be found in forgiveness. Remember that your freedom from darkness into light was purchased because God forgave you, but it doesn't stop with you. It continues as you perpetuate the forgiveness out of the love of God that is in your heart toward others for what they've done to you.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.